All right, quick word about Troll Co. Clothing. Here's what I actually love about this brand. It was started by two guys who worked the oil patch. Not marketers, not guys with corporate pitch decks. Workers. They looked around and could not find any clothing that represented the life they were living. So they made it themselves. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. Good quality stuff. The whole brand is built around a phrase you have probably heard. Dirty hands, clean money. The idea that hard, honest work is how you build a good life. And I think most people listening to this show understand that better than they're ever given credit for by the sports media machine. So if you want your gear from a brand that actually means something and was not assembled by a focus group, go check them out. Trollco.com/Zabe. That's TROLLCO.com/Zabe. And use code ZABE25 for 25% off your first order. It is the place, but it's a place that's a touch too windy for Charge to do this podcast from his porch. I'm so sorry, buddy, that I negated your very fine idea to enjoy the great Utah outdoors. Maybe we can work on a microphone for outdoors that mitigates the wind. What do you think?
Yeah. I live in a windy climate, unfortunately, and but it was still all day. I did another podcast earlier today.
It was really fine.
And the wind kicked up when you and I were ready to go on. And here's the thing that listeners should appreciate more about Steve Zabin. You care about audio quality far more than most do.
Thank you.
You will not.
I care about all quality very much.
With wind noise in the background.
Yes. I do care about quality probably more than I should, because as I understand this business and everything else, the listener doesn't care as much about quality as I do. They do care to a certain threshold, but beyond that, they really don't, you know? So I get hung up on that a lot. The guys who drive me fucking crazy are Scott and Solly. If I can just be candid with you guys. Because They don't care as much about look or sound as I think they should. And Scott is a
beautiful as Scott and Solly. You let your face do the talking for you, right? Yes. I mean, you know, that's, you just go on camera and look beautiful.
That's one way to put it. But when Scott connects to me with a microphone that is connected to his phone, not his laptop, by a Bluetooth connection, and it is clearly not as robust as it could be, fucking drives me nuts. And if I try to push him to set it up better or more correctly, he gets very prickly, if not angry. I don't like Scott angry. Scott angry can scare me a little bit. He's got it. He's got teeth to him, you know?
How many prickly people can one Zabecast have? I think the answer is one.
And I'm the fucking guy. I'm the one guy that gets to be prickly. But anyway, I digress. How are you today, Charge? Are the fine citizens of Utah hoping to be in the LeBron James Derby for his services for one more year? As he announced today to the Lakers, I'm out. Thanks for everything. I don't think Utah's in the mix.
With the Lakers.
Yeah.
8 years. That's, you know, that's a pretty long commitment for him. Now, you got to figure there's only a couple of legitimate landing spots for LeBron. And, you know, I don't know enough about salary cap positions of each team to know like who could afford LeBron. But you can look at, you can already rule out a lot of small markets where LeBron is very unlikely to bring his game.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean,
There's no point in ruling out. There's like three places he might want to go to. Cleveland. I think number one is Golden State. He's trying to go to Golden State to team up with Steph Curry and with perhaps Anthony Davis if the Wizards trade him. And then Draymond Green, and then have this, you know, team of guys who are damn near 40 or almost older, like he is. He's 41. And they're calling it the Olden State Warriors if it comes to fruition. If he really just wants to play with Anthony Davis, he could go walk right into Washington, but I don't think he wants to do that. And then Cleveland would make a lot of sense as a one last, okay, remember where it all started for the kid from Akron? Well, he's back for one more year.
Yes, no doubt. Cleveland would be perfect, right? You open and close your career in the same relatively small town. They won 52 games last year.
I know.
Cleveland's a legit roster. And that, I mean, for a guy who, you know, mostly LeBron has handled himself extraordinarily well for the most part over his career.
Yes.
He is not... You know, if it's not a popular notion, but have we ever had a drug problem with LeBron? No. We ever had a crime problem with LeBron? No. His politics don't align with everybody's, but mostly he doesn't talk about that stuff.
By the way, LeBron, all I hear in my head right now is Chris Rock when he had that line. He had that joke in one of his stand-ups, one of his more popular stand-ups early on in his career before he became a movie star and then stopped doing comedy and stopped being edgy, where he says, you know, black people, some of them will say, I take care of my kids. What, you want a cookie? You're supposed to take care of your kids. You're saying there's no crime problem with LeBron. It's like, come on, man. Talk about a low bar. But then again, it is the NBA where guys are fucking throwing games for extra money on prop bets like Malik Beasley while he was a Timberwolf. By the way, Beasley was throwing games as a Timberwolf, throwing games as a Buck. What a fucking disgrace. But no, you're not wrong. He has carried himself very nicely. The thing is, he's cringeworthy at times. He's full of shit at times. And he is way too much of a poser at times, and he flops. But everyone flops.
The flopping is the biggest negative for LeBron by a mile.
I know.
His flopping is soccer-level absurd, and
yes,
he doesn't need it. I mean, for the love of God, you're LeBron James. You get the benefit of the doubt on all your calls anyway. He absolutely does not.
You say he doesn't need it. I mean, every little bit works. And obviously, a little bit more works a little bit more. So, yeah, I don't know.
Tell me if you agree with this. I had a friend make this statement, and the more I've thought about it, I think he might be right. LeBron made it cool for your entourage to be your financial manager, your investment guy, your personal finance person, your dietitian, your workout person, right? That's your entourage, or all these professionals who are there really just to make sure that you make nothing but great decisions and maximize your career. And I think there's some truth to that with LeBron.
Yeah, as long as your entourage are not complete fuck-ups. And so in LeBron's case, he had some pretty solid dudes in his inner circle that, you know, went on to become his trusted confidants and managers and everything else. Rich Paul being the primary one of Clutch Sports, his agent. So we shall see. I'm not here to talk NBA though today. Oh no. I want to talk about once again Paul's beloved Minnesota teams catching strays where they shouldn't be catching strays. No. I sent you the clip of Diana Rossini caught lying about something that was already journalistically unethical, which is she claimed to be FaceTiming a coach to get out of a traffic ticket. Turns out she did not FaceTime, but she did show her phone to the cop in New Jersey and showed that because he was a Viking fan, that she was texting with him about J.J. McCarthy. And it was at that point that Diana Rossini, purported Big J journalist, supposedly should be a bit neutral, said, yeah, their quarterback sucks. Wow. Wow.
So,
ouch.
Now, the question, the big question is, was that her opinion or was that Kevin O'Connell's decision?
Yes.
Who was she speaking on behalf of in that moment when she said that? Now, this was last February when we'd already seen J.J. McCarthy suck on the field like 12 times. So, you know, right. She very well could have come to that conclusion on her own.
It was not a controversial comment, let's put it that way, but it's one that caught a lot of attention for sure. Go ahead.
Well, absolutely. Now, where I think it gets interesting is if she's got this buddy relationship with Kevin O'Connell, and by the way, I'm absolutely not suggesting there's anything untoward in their relationship. But if they've got a close relationship, and if Kevin O'Connell had been telling her, no, he's getting better, no, he's going to be great, I've seen traits of greatness, you know, I don't think she says that in the moment. I think she says it because Kevin O'Connell has said the same thing to her.
Yeah.
You know, I think she's tipped Kevin O'Connell's hand. Kevin O'Connell, you know, and we're getting reports now that many people believe to be the case then that it was O'Connell that wanted Aaron Rodgers. The whole Aaron Rodgers thing that you and I
spent, oh my God,
half a last season talking about.
We're digging this one up. Okay, go ahead.
Yep. That apparently that the reason there was steam is because O'Connell specifically wanted Rodgers and didn't think that J.J. McCarthy was going to be requisite of the job. And by the way, he's not. So it's, you know, there's
how many
it's
people
just yet another, it's yet another blow yeah. to the fragile psyche.
Here, let me
J.J. McCarthy and his believers.
Yeah. Another blow to the fragile psyche, as well as another stain on Purple Nation. Another stain on Purple Nation. Here's the actual audio of her name dropping Kevin O'Connell.
Look what I said to him about just now. Go to the bottom.
Oh my God. Wow. Pretty cool.
Dude, I love the Vikings. Awesome. KFC's awesome.
Yeah. He seems like a dude.
Your quarterback sucks though.
Yeah. So he's got to get it. He's got to fix it. He's got to turn it around or someone else is going to get him. So.
I mean, I'm just cringing at how many people, including police officers, are simping for this little Italian harlot who is a six with boobies. Like, come on, people. And same thing for all these NFL coaches. The simping for a moderately pretty girl is beyond belief. But somebody did make the point. They're like, I bet Kevin O'Connell's going to be asked about this by one of the reporters next time they're available. Don't you think?
So let me, okay. Do you believe this should be fair game as a conversation point
yes.
for local media?
Yeah. Why wouldn't it be? It's information it's information that could lead to an angle. You could say, hey, we saw in this, you know, body cam video with Diana Rossini that you actively texted her. That's not surprising in itself, but she sort of implied that you were kind of negative on J.J. McCarthy's progress. Can you shed more light on what you shared to her? And he'll probably default to, that's a private conversation. All coaches talk to reporters off the record and back channel, whatever. But I think you got to put out in front of them.
Think so?
It sounds like you don't.
In small, you know, you're looking at it from, I think, a Washington media standpoint, small market standpoint. It's like, well, I don't know. I mean, Kevin's one of the good guys. He's beloved. I don't know if you're
There's going to be a lot of
standing.
I think there's a lot of reporters up there that'd be terrified, that wouldn't do it. That would say, yeah, I'm not going to do this. There's nothing here. I mean, shit, half the mainstream media covered for the Hunter Biden laptop story, saying, oh, we're not going to report on it because it's Russian disinformation. It's a hoax. It's a conspiracy theory. Wrong. So, yeah, we'll see about
that.
Whatever
happened to the 50 intelligence agents who signed their name to the document that confirmed that there was nothing on the Hunter Biden laptop? How do they not have recriminations?
How are
they
not,
lied.
How are they not in jail? We don't have a proper right. country. What happened to them is nothing. Nothing fucking happened. If you go through life assuming that nothing will happen to bad people who commit crimes at the highest levels of power, you will not be disappointed. You will see a lot of it, but at least you will have pre-calibrated your expectations properly. Nothing happened, and nothing almost ever does happen. So
it's so depressing.
Oh, God, it is. Don't even get me started on the depressing, my friend. There's more to the depressing out there. But I want to talk about something that is fascinating. Let's talk penalty kicks in soccer, shall we?
Okay.
How much of the World Cup are you following?
I've seen some, but not in the past couple of days.
Okay, Germany got ousted by Paraguay, the nation that loves their team. They all love their teams, but they look up while you can, Charge. Paraguay send-off for World Cup at the stadium in Paraguay. It's a fireworks show that was incredible. It was like a barrage of all bright pink fireworks in a ring around the top of their stadium. Well, I saw the reaction shots from the fans in Paraguay, eager to see their team advance, and they knocked out mighty Germany. Ooh, the Germans. And the penalty kicks that came down to it had a fascinating wrinkle. And that is, Germany had several players wave off their chance to take a penalty kick.
What do you mean?
Joshua Kimmich asked Goretzka twice whether he wanted to take the sixth penalty shot, and the latter refused. Jonathan Tah stepped up after that and missed. This was after there was difficulties even finding a sixth taker. Leon Goretzka, Vladimir Anton, Nathaniel Brown, and Malik Thiaw all hesitated and dodged the challenge due to the immense pressure. Tah, T-A-H, who had never taken a penalty kick in his career, stepped up and missed. And Germany is gone.
I don't even understand what you're saying, because here are these professional athletes who have gone through all the rigors to get to the very top of their sport.
Yes.
They have to be hyper-competitive. They've got to be completely driven.
Yes.
And when a penalty kick moment comes up, you're like, nah, I don't know. It's too scary. I might soil myself.
Yeah. It's fascinating on multiple levels. The most essential level is what you described. The will to be a competitor, to be the guy that helps deliver glory. I would argue in American sports, like the NBA, if there was a free throw and somebody got to be able to choose who to take it to win the game, even the worst free throw shooter is on the court for a team. You're like, man, I got this. Like, nah, Johnson, shut up. Yeah. You suck. You're not taking this. But in soccer, I guess it's different. They're all so freaked out. It's such a ridiculously easy kick in concept, but they are missed. And in the penalty shot kick, penalty kick shootout so far to determine some of these knockout games, there have been a lot of missed and or saved PKs. I once did a great radio stunt with Bob and Brian in which I was talking about how in the World Cup, I'm like, man, these penalty kicks are way too easy. They're like automatic goals. You're 12 yards from the mouth of the goal. The goal is huge. The goalie can't move off his spot until you kick the ball.
Right. He's guessing, right? The goalie is basically guessing left or right because he doesn't have time to read and react.
Right. And I said, that's such an easy shot. And I was running my mouth like a cocky asshole that I am. And the goalkeeper for the Milwaukee Wave indoor soccer team, or the coach, I believe, who comes on with Bob and Brian, heard me talking shit like this and said, oh, yeah? Well, if he thinks it's so easy, we could set up a soccer goal on the driving range at the annual Bob and Brian golf tournament. And he can and Zabe can see whether or not it's that easy trying to kick him in against Victor Noguera, who was the goaltender for the Milwaukee Wave. And guess what we did?
And?
Exactly that. I argued. I said, I bet I could make 50 of them. I could make 50%. I bet I could go 5 for 10 with no soccer training whatsoever. And they were like, oh, yeah, game on. So sure enough, they set it up. And
yep.
I don't have any real soccer skills. I didn't even have soccer shoes. So I packed for my trip up there a pair of hiking boots because I figured, yeah, I figured hiking boots would be, you know, they'd be good to, in fact, this might be on YouTube. Is they going to find this on YouTube? This would be a hoot if it's up there. Somebody probably put it up there. I just put on hiking boots and I wailed away at the kicks and I made 4. Not 5, 4
almost.
Of them. Yes.
Okay. Okay, wait. Of the 6 that did not go in, how many of them did you miss the goal entirely and how many of those 6 did the goalie make the save?
It was, I think, a mix. Oh, here it is. Here it is right here.
With a radio personality.
On YouTube.
Give me the audio downstream, please.
I'm gonna right now. Hold on. Let me share this video. By the way, after this whole thing went down, I guess I had kind of tore one of the ligaments in my ankle. And when I tried to, it was so painful that I couldn't walk. And I went to bed. I was by myself in this hotel and I couldn't even walk. And I had to call the front desk and beg them to bring me some Advil. Because I was like in such pain.
That is the best part of this story, by the way.
Okay. All right. Here it is. Yeah. Victor Nogueira. N-O-G. All right. There it is right there. You ready? You ready for awesomeness? Yep. Here we go.
To the outside observer, it would seem that making a penalty kick is a relatively easy task. Easy enough that a somewhat athletic person off the street might be able to make half of his attempts against a professional goalkeeper. But as radio personality Steve Zabin discovered, it's not that easy, especially when the goalkeeper is the Waves' Victor Nogueira.
Yeah, I think this is the one I can use. Gotta give me a couple warm-ups.
Look at how fat and how poorly dressed I am.
You are more handsome now at this age than you were then.
Fat and poorly dressed.
By the way, missing the goal.
You know what? Those
over
are not
the goal.
By the way, those are not terrible kicks. I am mildly athletic. Would you agree?
Mildly, yeah.
First of all, look at all the people lined up. I mean,
that's a lot of pressure.
There were people that ditched their car on the side of the road. At the time I was going to do this, because we said when we were going to do it, it was going to be like high noon, and just ran up the hill because they wanted to see it.
How long have you been playing soccer?
At least a week now, yeah. I feel I've been really preparing well for this, you know. A lot of dry heaves, a lot of sleepless nights, cold sweat.
Nogueira's challenge was to prevent Zabin, a non-soccer-playing recreational athlete, from making any more than 4 of 10 shots at a special shootout arranged at the Blue Mound Country Club.
Kick number 1. Oh, I toe-bombed it.
The wave keeper started out in fine fashion as he turned away Zabin's first 2 attempts.
Yeah, 2 saves. You're 0 for 2.
By the way, look how handsome he is, and look what a fucking putz I am.
I don't know, man.
Steve came back with a goal on his 3rd try, but missed the next 2 to put himself at 1 for 5 midway through the contest.
Oh. 1 for 5. Oh.
However, Zabin rallied back to make 3 of the next 4, and that set the stage for a dramatic final attempt.
I forgot it came down to the last kick. It's pretty good drama right here.
You can't miss here. This is like, you can't come up short on do it over.
Look at my fat dumb ass. Oh, God. Good times. That's why I love radio, doing stunts, doing bits.
Yeah, stuff like that, right? Which you never planned on, right? It just, these things just happen.
So is your mind sufficiently blown that that actually happened, that that was real?
A little bit. I think it's super cool. Yeah. Glad you did it.
Well, look, you know, and this is why when I say the penalty kick is too easy, wouldn't you kind of agree that a fucking hump like me can get out there in hiking boots and bury 4 of 10?
Yeah. Is there another sport where you could be a part of a scoring play on 40% of your efforts, given your current state of, you know,
no.
your current level of athleticism? And the answer is no. I mean, hockey, you would never, I could give you 100 shots on net with a goalie in hockey and you'd make none.
Yeah.
You'd save 100% of your hockey shots.
Right. Right. So anyway, there's the one level, which is why are these soccer stars such pussies about not wanting to step up and take the kick? But secondly, there is just the tactical inefficiency of, you shouldn't be asking around like, well, we got to make some of these penalty kicks. Otherwise, we're going home. Who wants to take them? That's like a bunch of guys out on a camping trip and they're like, there's a snake in the tent. Who wants to get it out? Oh, no, I don't do snakes. You, Jerry, you do it. Bill, you do it. The fuck? This is not volunteer time. They should have had a set pecking order of Jürgen, Gunther, Henrik. You here's the lineup of guys. And if they're and if some of those guys are not in the game because you have to choose from those who are in the game when they take the PKs, then the coach just needs to point and he needs to say you, 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 and you, and leave it at that. None of this choosing stuff, because they all pussed out and they had a guy that never took one finally step up and say, okay, I'll take it. And he missed and they're out. Amen. That blows my mind in terms of inefficiency.
It's in hockey, which also obviously they've got the same thing, right? They've got the, you know, in overtime, they've got, everybody wants to be a part of the shootout. In hockey, you can't get these guys to not want to be a part of it. Hockey players want that moment.
Yeah.
I can't fathom that there's professional athletes at the level of international soccer being played at the European level.
Right.
That don't want that moment.
Yeah.
Freaking babies.
All right. So, what do you make of the Beasley point shaving situation? In the NBA.
Well, he did it. For starters, he did it. I mean, it looks like they've got very good evidence against him. The and if when they tie the specific 4 bets that they know against to the highlights of what he was doing, it's pretty obvious that he was trying to get wins for his betting partners on this.
Right. Well, is it as big of a deal as it should be? Part of me is kind of like, yeah, this is really bad. But why is it that the NBA is not in a more dire situation? Why is it that the NBA is barely going to be affected by this in terms of ticket sales, attendance, ratings, media conversation? In a proper world, a scandal of this magnitude would put an entire league on a standing 8 count. And yet, I guess we've come to accept as fans, yeah, some of these assholes already making millions of dollars are probably doing shit to try to manipulate prop bets or throw games entirely.
Imagine this happened in the NFL, right? Imagine we found out, and it has to be a good player who can actually affect the outcome. You know, what if we found out, insert quarterback here, Baker Mayfield, randomly. Baker Mayfield is throwing games. That would be, I mean, it would be huge news. Huge news. But in basketball, where it's always been basketball, and it seems like it always is basketball where these things happen, people just go, oh, yeah, it's another one in basketball.
You're right that the NFL's not been touched by this, whereas baseball has with the Indians relievers. Got pinched. NBA has on multiple fronts. In the NFL, the worst we've had is Calvin Ridley, the Falcons receiver. He was suspended for little nickel dime bets on his phone when he was a Falcon. Yeah. Jameson Williams got caught up in it for the Lions. All right, my dog is barking like hell. Can you hear that?
Nope.
Okay. Ah, Tucker, please, buddy. Why are you being this way? And why is it that no one's home to take care of you?
So earlier in this, I had to, it's funny, I had to mute you because delivery guy shows up needing a signature while we're talking.
And did you leave to go get the signature?
Well, I didn't because we were on camera. Aww. And I hope Roxy signed for it, because if she didn't sign for it, then it's, you know, God only knows where it's going to go next. We'll find out. But the dogs are barking and I'm like, oh man, I muted myself and just let you continue to ramble.
We got 10 more minutes before we are podcast legal on a holiday week. So let's just fucking power through. Okay. I think you're right. I think if the NFL had a scandal, then it would be a lot different. It would hit a lot different for sure. But it's just weird how these things are so bad, so blatant, such bullshit, and yet it's not going to really affect the NBA one bit. So, all right. You got a story for me about the IRS.
Yep. I have a basically dormant company. I don't want to bore people, but it's a company with no revenue. You know, I file this tax return that I do by hand every year where I just fill in a bunch of zeros. And last year we had just put some of our savings, it's a very small amount, into a savings account, and it earned interest. We had $78 of interest in it, and I paid $16 of taxes on my $78 of interest.
Why? And of course, the IRS was able to find that money, because that's what they did.
I don't know if they would have found it or not, right?
Oh, did you report it?
I didn't want to risk it.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, my $78 of income, so I reported the $78 and I paid the $16.
Okay.
So this week, I get a notice from them in the mail. They need me to file a 4262, I think it was, a 4262.
Yeah.
Which is, I need to declare whether or not my company is eligible for safe harbor. To meet the standards of safe harbor, Zabe, you have to be a company with $800 million of revenue.
You're currently $799,999,000 short of that.
Yes.
If not more.
You've got to be kidding me. That's the follow-up I got from the IRS. So I had to fill out my 4262 safe harbor form, indicate that I am well short of $800,000, and send that in. Yes. So that was, there's your IRS hard at work for you.
And that's, I believe that the way our country wants it, the way the powers that be want it, they want it more complicated. They want it more Byzantine, because it allows those who are very sneaky to cheat the best, to hide the best, to manipulate the best. A simple tax code would punish the powerful and the rich, because the simpler it is, the harder it is to evade. And even if they catch you, the IRS, and say, no, 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 you can't do that, it then becomes subject to lawyering and audits.
Yeah.
And whether or not you argue your case, like, no, no, this pair of underwear I donated to Goodwill is in fact deductible. I want my $6 value. No, those underwear is only $3. No, it's at least $4. So, and that's what it gets down to. It's completely crap. I learned a long time ago, because I wanted to try to, you know, fill out my tax returns as perfectly as I could, or have my accountant, my tax guy, to fill them out as perfectly as possible. I still try to fill them out as accurately as I can, but I don't sweat necessarily if I feel like I've nailed it perfectly. If there's something wrong, if there's a mistake, and if the IRS catches it, they're going to let you know. And then we're going to work it out, which I've had to do before. And have I been hit with penalties before? Yes. I've even been audited before. And, you know, it's not something that's fun, but it, you know, you survive. As long as you're not completely cheating the government and you're scheming.
Yeah.
It comes down to a baseball play where your tax return is like a runner in baseball rounding the bases. The IRS has to make the catch, the throw, and the tag. So it's best to run aggressively because they've got to make all three. And then if you're out,
well,
you're out.
Okay. Yes and no, right? You know, the absurdity of our system is the IRS knows how much you're supposed to pay and won't tell you. You have to try to come to the same conclusion that the IRS has come to and file that way.
It seems
like it's such a dumb system where I'm guessing the number that they already know.
I know.
And will audit me if we're not close.
I know. I've seen the meme, which is, it's tax time. So how much do I owe? IRS, we know. Can you tell us? Nope. That's for you to figure out. Really? Yeah. Send us what you think and we'll let you know whether you're right. Like, that's kind of the system. But part of it is the IRS doesn't know what you're going to claim in terms of, well, this piece of income should fall under this umbrella. Therefore, it's taxed at this rate. And so they can't know all of that, but they can argue with you and say, you know what? That's not permissible. Like when I got audited, I made the mistake of showing the IRS auditor, a very joyless young woman who probably just thrives on being that person. I showed her my 5-hour energy dome with the three TVs. And I said, I watch football in here. I'm a sports commentator. This is why this portion of the room and this equipment's a write-off. You know what she said? She said, without flinching, yeah, but do you ever watch movies in there with your family? Because then, she was going to say, well, it's really not exclusively for your job. It's also a personal thing that would not be subject to a write-off. I think that's when I said, okay.
It's a percentage. It's a percentage write-off, right?
It is a percentage. That's when I think I said, okay, tour is over. It's been nice having you, Miss Panjeet. Let's get...
After incriminating yourself.
and I had people say afterwards, you idiot, don't offer anything else. Don't befriend them. It's like talking to a police officer during a traffic stop. Don't offer anything up. Unless you're Diana Rossini and you're just such a bubbly little Italian New Jersey six with big titties. Oh, sorry, I can't say that. Let me take that out. With large breasts. You know, people got mad at me for saying the T word on this podcast. They're like, oh, it's just so cringe. Why? Yeah, they didn't like it. When I was talking about the movie Trading Places and Jamie Lee Curtis and how that was the first set of you-know-whats.
Yeah, that was me and you last week or the week before.
Yeah. Yeah, I got people not very happy about it. Let's see if I can find it here.
Because of the T word?
Yeah, here we go. Douglas Bertrand, Zion and Boobs. Hi, Steve. Spent the week at Zion National Park. I'm sorry, Zion. Did I say that right now? Zion.
Well done.
And then went to Bryce. Then went to Bryce National Park with my wife and two teenage sons on the 4-hour drive from Bryce to Vegas on our flight home. Boys had their headphones on. I told my wife, who's very sensitive to explicit podcast material, that I wanted to listen to you and Charge and your most recent podcast. It obviously made sense given the fact that Charge lives up there in Utah. What can go wrong? Right, I thought you guys are mostly benign. Well, then right out of the gate, he starts talking about Zion. Great. Something we can bond over. Then the bombs land. You start talking about Jamie Lee Curtis's magnificent D's. And the conversation continues for about 90 seconds. Red in the face, I explained that something like this is never discussed between the two of you. I'm not mad. I just wanted to share a funny story.
What are you, mostly benign? I think that should be the new name of this podcast.
Mostly benign.
Zencast, just mostly benign. Maybe that should be the name of your new morning show. Mostly benign.
Oh, thank you very much for mentioning that. So back in the saddle, Church, back in the saddle. And what's funny is...
Talk to me about it.
I mean, look, many, many, many people are super happy about it. I'm excited about it. It's only an hour now. We'll see where it goes. And, as I said to somebody, as being in this business on this side of the ledger, the talent side of the ledger, the battle, the game, is always and has always been us versus the suits. We're here as talent. The suits and the companies are the ones that have the money, and they have the stages upon which to play. I'm like, look, yeah. I'm a cowboy with a guitar looking for a stage to play where somebody, anybody will play me a few bucks. And so you evaluate what are my options? What stages are there? Now, so many stages in radio are closing, and so there's less stages to get up on and pling, 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 play your song, but they're still out there. So I'm excited for this opportunity, and we'll see where it goes.
I am too. I'm impressed that they were able to convince Josh to go on the Baton Death March once again.
With me, huh? Wow, I didn't know I was that tough of a companion. I'm surprised you don't appreciate the fact that I helped Josh get over and I endorsed him and defended him on so many occasions. Wow, Charles.
No doubt.
Wow,
no
you.
Doubt. You know what? I'm still, here's the thing, still bitter with Josh because he beat me in the finals of our Zabe Whiskey Guillotine League. And I'm still, it's the wound is still a little bit open right now.
I wanted
all the whiskey.
You're bitter at him for beating you. He's bitter at me because he won it back-to-back years and then got kicked out of the league because the other guys in the league, the other middle-aged bourbon lovers, were like, why are we letting this young punk get all the bourbon? He doesn't even really like bourbon. He's still a Pabst guy. And so I just kicked him out, which was pretty fucking rude. So I came up on the way out the door here with what we think would be a great last place punishment for fantasy football. And this is something that KFAN, your station in Minneapolis, in the morning show, has perfected. Would you agree? The old punishment?
They've got a great one.
Okay. The punishment is this. You must buy season tickets to the WNBA team in your city and attend every single game wearing the jersey of your favorite player on the team and post one social media tweet at the game raving about the Sun, the Lynx, the Liberty, etc. How do you like that for a last place punishment right there?
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. I mean, you'd have to go, I don't, how many games is in the WNBA schedule? About 25?
40, I believe. So it'd be 20 40 games, I believe. It's quite a commitment. Listen, it's not a last place reward. It's a last place punishment, Charge. You know this.
You have to pay to attend 20 different nights of your summer, of your these valuable summer opportunities.
Yeah.
That in the Midwest, especially, do not come around very often. Yeah. Right? You only get like, you know, even in the summer, you only get like 40 really good nights a year, and you're going to screw up a bunch of them. Yeah. Now, in Minnesota, we've got the hottest young player in the WNBA, right. Olivia Miles, who is awesome. But nevertheless, that is a brutal punishment.
All right, Charge, good to talk to you, my friend. We'll check in next week. See you, bud.
That's good.
Good day. Good day. And you guys, what?